And welcome everyone to it's always a special episode, but this is just a fun episode with Frank and I. We're going to talk about the Oscar nominations. So this is Podcasting Softly's official Oscar predictions and preference episode. What's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Just got back from seeing The Witch, which was a crazy little movie. Definitely people should go check it out.
Yeah, I'll be seeing that one shortly. Tim just put a review up on our site, so he was a big enthusiast of that. So I'll be seeing that maybe today, but I'll certainly be seeing it this week.
Yeah.
I wanted to see it this weekend, but it just didn't work out. But yeah, I'm very excited to talk about the Oscars because it's an interesting race this year, and I myself even had a shift in what I think should win or will win as well. So without any further ado, I suppose we'll just jump into – you want to start with the best pictures or do you want to preface with some? I guess – I'll backtrack. I guess we should preface briefly about the Oscar diversity, quote-unquote, controversy that happened this year at the Oscars. Why don't you start by giving us your thoughts on the situation?
I mean, I think that it's something where – I mean, listen, we're outsiders. We're not in L.A. We're not members of the Academy. So, you know, we all have our own probably different set of opinions on this than other people. But you can't bemoan the fact that they're not nominating people of color or of different ethnicities if the opportunities simply are not there. And that's the thing that for some reason no one seems to want to discuss, is that it doesn't seem like, you know, there's enough roles out there that are being offered to actors and actresses, who are African-American, Hispanic, Native American, whatever you want to call it. So while I can understand the frustration on the part of many people, and you could make arguments for certain performances this year that should have been nominated. Idris Elba in something like Beasts of No Nation, a film that was completely ignored about something very important, and in this case, an African subject matter, and it was completely ignored. I'm not necessarily sure that it's a conscious thing. I just think that less chances are afforded to certain groups.
Yeah, I tend to think that the Academy is its own club, and they're very selective on who they want to bring into that club, or even give the potential of bringing into that club, and then even more so who's actually going to win the Oscar. I don't know if it's a conscious race thing or not, but in all honesty, a Mexican's going to win Best Director 2 years in a row.
Yep.
I mean, Lou Bezecchi is going to win Best Cinematography 3 years in a row.
Yep.
The big thing with Idris Elba not being nominated, look, I think Best Supporting Actor is the toughest category, and it generally has been over the past 10 years or so. Absolutely. Or there's probably 10 people I could rattle, like John Cusack, Chirac, Harrison Ford, Star Wars, and my big one who I think should win is Harvey Keitel in Youth, but I mean, those are all white actors and it really has nothing to do with ethnicity. Look,
yeah, there's a lot of performances every year. There's a lot of great performances and great movies that don't get any Oscar nominations.
Beast of No Nation, and I think you're the one that actually told this to me when we initially talked about it. I think the Academy not recognizing that movie and Elba's performance has a lot to do with the Academy not wanting to recognize a Netflix film.
Exactly. They don't want to know about Netflix and a movie streaming at the same time as that it's playing in, one theater chain. And, that definitely didn't help that particular movie. People make the claim that there's racists in the Academy. Yeah, there's racists in the Academy. You go to the grocery store on any given day, you're going to bump into someone who has racist thoughts. I mean, you have a 6,000 plus voting membership. You're going to have people in that voting membership that are not, racially sensitive, I'm sure. But I don't think that
right.
I don't think that it has to do with an overarching, you know, racial stigma placed on certain groups of people by the Academy. I would have to assume that it has to do with a lot of choices out there. And, you know, like you said, in the case of something like a movie that's deserving, like Beasts of No Nation, the Netflix thing is, you know, it didn't help the film.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's not, this isn't, what am I looking for here? It's like, oh, I was going to actually mention Will Smith as well. I think the big thing with Will Smith is Concussion really wasn't that good of a movie, and he wasn't really that phenomenal compared to the other nominees and people that weren't even nominated, like Michael Caine in Youth and other actors.
I haven't seen the movie, so I can't personally attest, but you know, I mean, his performance certainly got the best acclaim for the movie, I would say. But I guess,
oh yeah, without a doubt,
wasn't surprised that, you know, they didn't do that, and you know, that's.
But I mean, so is Johnny Depp in Black Mass.
Yeah.
I mean, Johnny Depp in Black Mass is one of the best things he's ever done, and he didn't get nominated. So
again, lots of competition. So, you know, I mean,
anyway,
yeah, it's not really our place to, you know, sort of espouse upon what, you know, is, you know, but from an outsider's point of view, I think that there's a lot of different factors that combined to the quote unquote whitewashing of the Oscars.
Yeah.
We certainly know Chris Rock is going to have some fun talking about it. So.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. So yeah, let's just move on to the Oscars and go to the Best Picture race.
You want to do Best Picture?
Yeah, let's do Best Picture. All right.
Start at the top.
So my personal Best Picture, Youth, didn't get nominated. I think Star Wars should have gotten. Here's the thing: before we even get into what got nominated, if you're gonna be open to nominating 10 Best Pictures. Nominate 10 Best Pictures.
Yes, we're both
don't
in
do
agreement.
Seven. Don't do eight. It's like just do 10 or five. I mean, do 10 or five.
Yeah, just the 10 movies that get the most votes overall get the 10 slots. None of this minimum vote nomination bullshit. Just the 10 movies that get the 10 most votes for Best Picture should be the movies that are nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in perfect. Perfect alliance with you on that fact.
They got The Big Short, Bridge of Spies, Brooklyn, Mad Max, The Martian, The Revenant, Room, and Spotlight. Overall, a pretty very solid group of films for the most part. I you know, personally, Bridge of Spies, solid film, wouldn't put it in the top 10. The Martian was a solid movie. For me, not in the top 10. All the rest, though, for me, definitely landed on my top 10.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't have – I would agree with everything you just said. Like, The Martian I thought was a really good movie. I didn't love it. I don't think it's one of Ridley Scott's, like, wow,
yeah,
movies. Bridge of Spies is as conventional and non-surprising as a Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg period piece film would be. I mean, it's a good movie. It's solid.
Very
I don't
solid,
think
yeah.
it's
– But it wasn't –
I don't think it's – right.
Yeah.
I mean, I certainly think that Steve Jobs should have gotten a nomination. The Hateful Eight should have gotten a nomination.
Yeah.
Spike Lee's Chirac. I mean,
I
Straight Outta Compton could have gotten nominated. Creed could have gotten nominated. I mean, there are so many movies this year that could fill the void. So, with what is nominated, though, I thought that The Revenant was going to win. I didn't see anything that could probably beat it. That was back when we did our best of 2015. From that point, I've rewatched Spotlight a bunch of times. And I personally think that it's going to split and Spotlight's going to get picture and Alejandro's going to get best director.
Yeah.
I think it's a three picture race between Spotlight, The Revenant, and maybe The Big Short, or highly unlikely, but could happen, Mad Max.
Yeah, I think that you're right. I think it'll be a split between, I mean, I guess we're talking Best Picture, Best Director in tandem, which is fine. I think that it'll be a split and Spotlight will win Best Picture and Iñárritu will win Best Director. I think the fact that, I mean, the PGA went with The Big Short, which, you know, on the face of it, was, I think, a shock to a lot of people. But when you really think about Best Picture voting and stuff, The Big Short has a lot of interesting ingredients in it, and it has big stars, and it came in on budget, and it was a tight film, whereas The Revenant is like this wild story about budgets spiraling out of control and productions needing to be rearranged and, you know, a producing nightmare, you know what I mean, essentially. I guess I'm not surprised in a way, in some respects, that maybe some producers might be like, well, you know, the movie's incredible, but maybe it's not the greatest produced film of all time, which is an odd thing to say. My personal feeling is I would just freaking love it if Mad Max won. It's not going to happen. That was overall my favorite movie of the year, edging out The Revenant just by a hair. But, you know, if Mad Max doesn't win, which it probably won't, if Spotlight were to take it or The Revenant were to take it, I'd be very pleased.
Yeah, I would be pleased as well. But I just really think that Spotlight's going to win. We all know that the Academy likes to make statements every once in a while.
Yes, they do.
With the films that they choose for Best Picture. I mean, a pretty clear example of that was Crash over Brokeback Mountain.
Yep.
Which I still am bitter about Crash winning and everything, but I think most people have kind of forgotten about that movie. Or it's kind of been deglorified and deglamorized, and people just really don't.
Yeah, I
care
think
for it as much anymore.
I think you're absolutely right. I think Brokeback Mountain is it's the more lasting, the more impactful movie than Crash, and I think that was I've never thought that Crash was the worst movie in the world. For me, it's like a 3-star movie. It's entertaining. It's well done. It's got good performances. It's one of those triptych movies with all sorts of people, and you have to buy into the contrived nature of it. But under no circumstances was it as emotionally powerful or as absorbing as Brokeback Mountain. And, you know, I think that that movie has a more lasting, you know, resonance. But you're right. I mean, the Academy does like to make a statement occasionally. And you truly do never know with them. You know, you can read into the guilds all you want, and you can look at all this, that, or the other thing, winning this, that, or the other award. But at the end of the day, it's a peculiar group of people. But if I'm a betting man, I go Spotlight. And then when you're looking at Best Director, Adam McKay, George Miller, Iñárritu, Tom McCarthy for Spotlight, and Lenny Abramson for Room, which I love. You know, they always nominate. People always get surprised when there's like a left field choice for Best Director. But historically, the Academy loves to nominate a young director who's only made one or two movies for Best Director. Look at Ben Zeitlin for what was the movie called? Now, of course, I'm forgetting the title. What was the movie with the girl in the bayou a couple of years ago? The independent film. The girl.
Oh, Beast of the Southern Wind?
How am I forgetting the title of this movie? In any event, that movie. Spike Jones getting nominated for being John Malkovich. There's definitely precedence, you know, throughout many years of a sort of left field choice, something that people aren't expecting. I thought Room was a fantastic movie, and the direction was a huge part of that. So I thought it was really cool that Lenny Abramson was nominated.
I still got to see that.
Yeah, I think you'll be impressed. But for me,
yeah, it was
what?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say for me personally, I would be giving either Iñárritu or George Miller. And in some ways I say give it to George Miller because he's 70 years old and he schooled so many people with action filmmaking. You know, he just completely tooled over on all of his younger contemporaries. So there's a part of me that just wishes he'd get it. He also directed Babe and you know, Babe 2 and, you know, had a lot to do with the first Babe. And those movies to me are like, you know, amazing. So just something about George Miller winning an Oscar that would be so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think out of the five that are nominated, I think Alejandro is going to win. But I think Alejandro, McCarthy, or Miller could all win. I think Alejandro is like the major bet. Maybe Tom McCarthy for Spotlight, and then maybe, just maybe, George Miller. I think George Miller would be a shock and a huge surprise, but it would also be kind of awesome at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, Jesus, Mad Max is just a tour de force of a movie.
Oh,
and it's like,
it's pure cinema. So, you know, there's a side of me that's like, yeah, you know, a film like that should get best director or best picture. But, you know, historically, action adventure movies don't win Oscars, let alone get nominated for them. So I guess we just have to be pleased that it was recognized.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, but Alejandro has to win. I mean, The Revenant's just unbelievable.
Yep.
And
I would have no problem if he won again, and it would be totally wild to see him win right after Birdman. I don't think anybody ever would have predicted that either. You know, he gets, you know, Birdman winning picture and director is still one of the most unique choices that the Academy has ever made, in my head, at least in my lifetime. So I think the idea of him turning around, doing The Revenant right after Birdman, having it be so completely different, in many respects, but also aesthetically similar with, you know, his fascination with the long take. I think it's sort of just like amazing in a way that he'd be back up there front runner and, you know, seemingly delving into The Revenant immediately after Birdman, you know, given how long Revenant took to shoot.
Oh, yeah, I don't think there was many that thought he was going to win Best Director for Birdman. I mean, I know I didn't. I thought Michael Keaton was going to win Best Actor and Boyhood was going to win Picture Director. Because, I mean,
I think a lot of people thought that, too.
But, yeah, I never would have guessed that he would have been nominated for The Revenant or he would even be the front runner. Especially coming off of Birdman, which is one of the most, if not most, unconventional Best Picture winners ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I just talked to my dad the other day, and my dad just watched it, and he's like, I thought that movie was terrible. I'm like, yeah, it's not really for everybody. But,
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah. No, it's one of those things. That's why I think it's so unique, because typically the Oscar likes to, you know, they like to anoint the movie that they feel is for everyone.
Yes. And moving on to actor, I know, like, everybody has said that this is going to be Leo's year and Leo's going to win. While I think it's highly likely that he's going to win, I could also see him not winning.
Yep.
And I could see Fassbender from Steve Jobs winning. Or even Matt Damon from The Martian.
Yeah, Matt Damon's performance was really well-loved by people, and, you know, people like him, and Fassbender continues to do ridiculous work year in and year out, movie after movie. But I think that it's Leo's year. I don't think that anything can beat the, you know, the tale of DiCaprio not winning all these years, all these performances. And I think that just what he went through personally, the story has just gotten so big and so, you know, the making of The Revenant has become a tall tale in a way, you know what I mean? And
Yeah. His
performance is just so fucking intense, and it's so big, and it's so cinematic, and I just feel that he's due. I mean, and the fact that he's due, and that the Oscars typically will, you know, I think it's a fantastic performance. The Oscars loves to give out cumulative awards for, you know, an entire body of work. So the given that he hasn't won, I think it's his year. I think he wins.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's highly likely, but I wouldn't be totally shocked and surprised if he didn't win. I mean, I think Bryan Cranston winning for Trumbo is just not even a possibility. And I certainly think Eddie Redmayne winning back-to-back is like a less than zero chance of that happening. I certainly think it's essentially his race to lose in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Best Actor.
And it's, you know, there's always a surprise. I mean, typically there's at least one or two surprises each show, and you know, it's the Academy. They're their own thing. So they like to make their own rules. They don't like to use other things as barometers.
Right. No, I agree with you. The lead actress category is the one that I really, my opinion has no bearing in, because I haven't seen any of these except for Carol.
Mm.
So I really don't know. I don't know what the trends are. I think it's what, probably Brie Larson from The Room is going to win Best Actress?
Yeah, I mean, I personally would be going Brie Larson. She's amazing in the film. She's in almost every scene. It's an incredibly emotional movie. You're able to project yourself into her performance. Saoirse Ronan in Brooklyn was absolutely wonderful, and the movie is just so nice, and it tells such a great story. And she really blossoms in the movie into a full-blown lead. So I'm really psyched that she was nominated. I've seen four of the five. I have not seen 45 Years yet. I can't wait to see it. Charlotte Rampling, of course, is a legend. Jennifer Lawrence was wonderful in Joy. Cate Blanchett, of course, was terrific in Carol. It's a very, very competitive, from a talent standpoint and from a, a performance standpoint, it's a very competitive category, but I think Brie Larson takes it. The Academy likes the next, ingenue. She's young. They're going to groom her to be the next Jennifer Lawrence, probably. She's the kind of girl that you can dress down like in Room and make her look kind of unappealing. And then she gets dressed up and she looks fantastic, on the red carpet. And, the Oscars like that. So if we're talking about what is going to win at the Oscars, it's always, very different about, everything else. Like, where the hell is Rinko Kikuchi for, Kumiko the Treasure Hunter? I mean, like, come on. Like, that's one of the most insane performances that anyone's ever going to see, So we forget that for these five great performances, there's another five or ten that you could always talk about or, throw in there.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's certainly Brie Larson. I wouldn't be surprised if Cate Blanchett wins, but I don't think...
Yeah, and that's the thing. If Cate Blanchett were to win, I wouldn't be surprised. Even though that I haven't seen the film, if Charlotte Rampling were to win, I wouldn't be surprised. And there's a certain side of me that says if for some crazy reason Saoirse Ronan were to win, and I say crazy reason just because I think that she's, I think that she's an outsider from winning, that would be amazing too. All of these performances were very, very good, regardless of what you thought of the movies themselves. So, yeah, what do you, why don't we go into supporting actress?
Supporting actress. Ooh, this is a good one. I think the surprise nomination this year every year the Academy always kind of throws in a surprise nomination, especially for acting. Whether it's like Clint Eastwood for Million Dollar Baby or, I'm trying to think of another one that they just do. But I think the surprise nomination was certainly Rachel McAdams for Spotlight. I was really surprised actually when I saw that, but I think she's also had an awesome year. She's great in Spotlight, and then she's also phenomenal in the second season of True Detective.
Yep.
And I honestly think that, depending on what an actor is doing while the awards season is going on, that certainly helps them. I mean, yeah. McConaughey winning for Dallas Buyers Club, I certainly think helped that True Detective was on during the awards campaigning.
Wait, listen, if there's a narrative to follow, a comeback story, someone has four performances in a year, you can't deny them. Although, what's his name? Donald Gleason had like five performances that were all great and gave him an award. But a nomination. But yeah, no, if the Academy has a story to latch onto, they like that. They like the narrative of the actor, or the filmmaker, or the film. So absolutely, I think that you're totally right.
I think Alicia Vikander is going to win, your girl.
Yeah.
Which I haven't seen The Danish Girl, but she had quite a year. Obviously, between that and Ex Machina or Machina, I can't remember how we're supposed to say it.
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina. I can go back to that website where it pronounces it for me.
Well, my father,
the robot.
Remember, my father told us.
Oh, that's right.
He was like, yeah. But no, I think Alicia Vikander, again, sort of like a Brie Larson. She's on the rise. You can make her look plain, and then she looks hot. She's got talent. She had a great year. She was in Testament of Youth as well, which is a British film that nobody saw.
Oh, that's right.
And Ex Machina, she owns that movie. In a very tricky performance, a great performance. I haven't seen The Danish Girl. And I didn't see Hateful Eight. And everyone loves Jennifer Jason Leigh in that movie. And I remember reading reviews that said I didn't like this movie, but she was great. And for what they put her through, she needs to be nominated, whatever that means. I'll find out, I'm sure. Rooney Mara does more with her eyes and face than most actors can do when they're given dialogue. So I'm not surprised she was nominated. She was wonderful in Carol. Rachel McAdams was, you know, steely professionalism in Spotlight. What can you say bad? I guess looking at this category of the three performances that I've seen, I would give it to Kate Winslet simply because Michael Fassbender is a force of fucking nature, right, in that movie. And then there's Kate Winslet, the heart, the soul of the movie, the parental unit to Steve Jobs, the confidant, the potentially closeted, you know, not lover, but, you know, they clearly loved each other in a specific way. She's doing an accent, a very strange, unique, esoteric accent. And people love Kate Winslet. So I wouldn't be surprised if Winslet were to take it. And I think I would pick her as my choice, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you there. My personal choice would be probably a toss-up between Kate Winslet and Jennifer Jason Leigh for The Hateful Eight. My personal view, and I'm the only one that apparently thinks this, is I think that Kate Winslet's a lead in Steve Jobs, and she should have got nominated for lead actress. But whatever, I can see certainly why she's supporting. And I almost think she's going to win in some sort of odd way. And if she does, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think that so many people like her. I think she's so well liked. She's been in so many great movies, and she's always great. I mean, like, you know, she's always terrific. Like, you can never look at Kate Winslet and say, "Oh wow, she's bad."
Right. No, I completely agree with you there. Okay, so moving on to my favorite category to talk about, and my favorite category in general is Best Supporting Actor. I think this year is one of the best years for supporting performances, and I don't know that I like the selection for the most part for the Academy, but I will say, before we can get into that, is that I think Sylvester Stallone's a lock to win for Creed. I think everybody loves Rocky. Everybody loves Stallone. And I think the fact that Rocky's so much different and uniquely portrayed in Creed, as well as Stallone just giving his best performance since Copland, and one of his best performances overall in his career. And as you were saying before about narratives, I think Stallone's a lock.
Yeah, I would agree too. I haven't seen Creed. The plan is to watch it tonight, so I'm looking forward to it. I've always been a fan of Stallone. I'm very much looking forward to seeing it. I kind of know some of the beats story-wise, so I know what to expect, I think. And yeah, I would say that probably he's about as much of a lock as you could get. You know, looking at the rest of the competition, it's four performances that I've seen. All of them are fantastic. Mark Rylance is easily the best thing about Bridge of Spies, other than, like,
yep,
you know, the production design and that kind of stuff. So, you know, and he was so well loved by critics, but again, critics, not the Academy. Mark Ruffalo is just one of those actors, I think, that's going to have like seven nominations before he actually wins an award from the Academy. I just think that he's so effortlessly good in everything that he's in that people don't see him acting, sort of. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I completely agree.
And what a lovely nomination for Tom Hardy, because right, everybody just freaks out, rightfully so, about Leo's performance, but, you know, arguably the more dimensional and more complex character was Hardy's, and he brought a very interesting texture to that role, and it's the kind of performance that easily could have not been nominated.
Oh, I completely agree with you. I think that if there's any chance of Stallone losing, I think it's going to be to Tom Hardy.
Yeah, I mean, and Bale, everyone, I know you still didn't see Big Short. Everybody in the Big Short, it is truly one of the best ensemble pieces of acting that I think I've ever seen in a movie. It's Spotlight, too, has a wonderful ensemble, and they're all together in the same sink. The work that all of these guys did in The Big Short, never overcrowding each other, big stars, big egos, presumably. Everybody wanted to have their piece of the pie in that film, and everything feels like such a well-oiled machine between the cast members. I'm not surprised they went with Bale. When you see the film, I think you'll know why. Carell was absolutely fantastic in the movie. I was sort of hoping that he'd get another nomination. He was great. But I think that I think it's Stallone, without even seeing Creed.
Yeah, I certainly think this is his year. The thing, I loved Spotlight. Spotlight vastly grew to become my favorite movie, or one of my favorite movies of the year.
Excellent.
I really wish that Michael Keaton would have been nominated over Ruffalo for the movie. I think if Keaton were nominated, that would really impact Stallone's chances of winning. Although at the same time, the Academy must not like Michael Keaton that much, since they didn't give him the Oscar for Birdman and they didn't nominate him for Spotlight. So it'll be interesting to see where their relationship goes from here, because I know
he's going
to
be playing McDonald, you know.
Yeah, Keaton's next movie is going to be Ray Kroc, right, the founder of McDonald's. So it'll be interesting to see what happens from there. But, yeah, I mean, I always love the supporting category for actor, because it's kind of like a combination of the old guard and, like, new and more unique performances by actors. But yeah, I mean, I certainly think that Stallone got the nomination. I honestly think Stallone's going to win, and a lot of the main reason is that he's going to win on merit for the performance, but it's also going to be like the Paul Newman and the Color of Money Oscar, where it's like, okay, you've had a long career and it's been amazing and we've never rewarded you, so here.
Yeah.
So I think Stallone's is a combination between the two.
I would agree.
And
I would agree.
What do we have left? Screenplay?
Yeah. I think original screenplay, you're looking at Bridge of Spies, Ex Machina, Inside Out, Spotlight, Straight Outta Compton. My guess is that Spotlight takes it because of the research and because of just how, you know, acclaimed it is and how well written it is. Nothing surprises me. Inside Out could easily take it. It's a wonderful movie filled with imagination. Straight Outta Compton's a big piece of subject matter. Bridge of Spies too, and you know, two of the writers of Bridge of Spies, the Coen brothers. And, you know, I think the best nomination in the group is Ex Machina, because, you know, science fiction is typically shunned by the Academy in a lot of years. And that truly was a great science fiction movie with a terrific ending, and it was thought-provoking. And Alex Garland's done really cool genre work, you know, in the past. So it was really nice to see him get a nomination, but I think Spotlight takes it.
Yeah, when I originally looked at the nominations earlier before we started talking, I think Spotlight's a lock. I think that's as much of a lock as Stallone winning Best Supporting Actor. Until I looked at the list again and I thought about it, I think there's a chance that Straight Outta Compton wins screenplay. Just due to the whole fact and the huge backlash the Oscars took, or the Academy took this year.
You think the four white writers who wrote Straight Outta Compton are gonna win best screenplay?
It would be like when 3-6 Mafia's song,
yeah, Hard Out There for Being a Pimp, yeah.
Yeah, it's Hard Out There for a Pimp, and it's like two white guys go up and accept the Oscar because they wrote the song. It's just, I don't know.
It could happen, definitely. I mean, right.
We'll see. It could be one of those, it could just further add to all the bullshit this year with the Oscars and having them give the Oscar to Straight Outta Compton, and the four white guys go up there and accept the
Everyone will write an article that the one black movie, quote unquote, was written by white people, you know. And what I also find funny about that whole situation is that, and again, I'm not an insider, I don't know, but from what I've read, Dr. Dre and the producers hired those writers specifically. They had their chance to hire a black writer, and they didn't. But then again, that's just what I read. I'm not behind the scenes. I have no idea.
Right. Okay, so then adapted screenplay.
I think the Big Short. Well, it's tough because you got.
I think it's going to be either Carol or the Big Short.
Or the Martian.
Ugh.
Because the Martian
really?
Is so well loved, and that was a book that so many people loved, and then it came out, and everybody loved it, and said what a great adaptation of the book. This is a tough category: Big Short, Brooklyn, Carol, the Martian, and Room. And it's interesting. The one Oscar I could maybe see the Martian winning is this category in some weird way, because they made it like it wasn't my favorite science fiction movie. I liked it. I thought it was good. But they made it.
It's an Academy science fiction movie, though.
But it's an Academy science fiction movie. It's a friendly science fiction movie. It's an optimistic science fiction movie. It's about teamwork. And they didn't manufacture a villain. That's the other thing I like about it, too, is that at no point in The Martian did they ever manufacture a phony villain. They allowed the story to play out as they decided to do it. And they also made it comedic, which I don't think a lot of people expected.
Yeah, I agree with you. For me, I think it's going to be a toss-up between The Big Short and Carol.
Yeah.
Maybe with an edge to Carol. I don't know. We'll see with that one.
I mean, you got five movies that are extremely well-loved, and they're all in every respect. In The Big Short, you know, when you see The Big Short, you're going to flip.
I'm sure I will.
They take subject matter in The Big Short that is potentially completely confusing for everyone, and they made a concerted effort to unconfuse it for a vast majority of the audience. It's a movie that's definitely going to be too much for certain people. There's going to be certain people that's going to go in one ear and out the other, but for a big portion of the audience, they made a very hard to understand topic understandable, and they did it with a lot of humor. So it's tough.
Yeah, that's great. I'm looking forward to seeing that, certainly.
And again,
it's not out yet, is it? Is it on your Apple TV?
Not yet, but my guess is that it would be soon.
All right. Well, I'm gonna have to see that as soon as it comes out.
Yeah.
All right. I suppose the last subject we'll go into that's a major category, especially for us, is cinematography.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Cinematography is always the hardest and my most favorite category.
I mean, what a year for cinematography too. Holy crap.
Every year it's just so hard with cinematography choices. It's if you're really paying attention to cinema and you're really thinking about what's cinematic and what looks amazing on a visual level and if films are supposed to be communicating ideas visually, how are you not just flipping out about Emmanuel Lubezki and what he's done over the last decade, but in the last few years with Malick and, you know, now with Iñárritu. And poor fucking, excuse the French, but poor fucking Roger Deakins. I mean, does he just have to continuously get nominated and not win? It's almost like it's masochistic now at this point, like having this man come, you know, to these things and not having him win. But you just can't stop Lubezki with the cinematography. It's insane.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. I think that if... I mean, I know I said that there's been a couple of locks so far, but I think this is the be-all, end-all lock. I think Lubezki is certainly going to win, and rightfully so. But, I mean, what a year. I love that the Academy nominated Robert Richardson for The Hateful Eight.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful.
He's one of my favorites. He's one of the main reasons why I'm looking forward to seeing the film. I love his collaborations with QT. And, you know, John Steele getting nominated for Fury Road is a fantastic nomination. The cinematography in that movie is striking. And Ed Lockman shooting on 16mm for Carol. And I mean, you know, it's freaking amazing, you know, and Deakins painting with the night light in Sicario. I mean, you got seriously five absolutely incredible pieces of talent. And every year in cinematography, it's always the same thing. I mean, all of these technical, you know, categories are always just so hard to pick because you got so much great work being done, production design and editing and everything else. So
certainly. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up our Oscar chat.
Yeah. I mean, animated feature film real quick. I mean, we haven't seen everything. Animalisa is just not to be believed. It's so unique. It's the first R-rated animated feature to be nominated for an Academy Award, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think there's any chance in hell it wins. Inside Out's going to win. And it's a great.
You don't think there's any chance it can win?
No.
No, like none.
No, like literally no. Inside Out wins this award without even hesitation. If Annalisa were to win, I'd dance a jig. I mean, it's a fucking crazy film, and it takes some serious balls to make that movie. But Inside Out, it has the $400 million and, you know, the 100% at Rotten Tomatoes, and everybody loves it, and it's a great movie. And, it, you know, the Pixar brain trust is hard to compete with. They make films that appeal to adults and to children, and they don't make you feel stupid when you're watching the kids' movie. In many instances, their films are more geared towards adults than they are the kids. You know, my personal favorite out of all of them, even with Annalisa and Inside Out, is Shaun the Sheep. That movie filled me with delight. Just for 90 minutes, I laughed, I cried, I laughed, I laughed, I laughed. I thought it was absolutely delightful. And they don't say a goddamn word in the movie. There isn't one spoken word of English. Maybe two words. The rest of it is baaing and grunting and animal noises. Like, it is such a fun movie. And, you know, the painstaking process of claymation. It boggles my mind. It boggles my mind, stop motion animation with clay. I do not understand how these people do it.
Quick question. What do you think would have a better chance of winning? Annalisa for animated feature or Eddie Redmayne for best actor?
Not that I've seen Eddie Redmayne, but he just won, and the movie wasn't as universally loved as I think people thought it would be. Not that people, I think, knocked it per se, but I think that out of those two, the easier one to call would be Annalisa. And maybe that would be because the Academy sometimes makes a weird artistic decision that just completely throws you for a loop. So I would go Annalisa between those two. That's a funny question.
Yeah, I thought so too. I was laughing to myself when I thought of that. But yeah, I agree with you. I think Inside Out, that's certainly going to win. I'm sorry, I'm almost surprised they didn't nominate that for Best Picture.
Yeah, and again, in a field of 10, you know, I'm of the opinion animated. If you have an animated category, it belongs in the animated category, and it shouldn't be mixed in with the live action. But then there's some days where I say that animated movie was as good as the live action we ever saw. So it's always a back and forth with me. But yes, given that there were 10 possible nominees and how much people loved Inside Out, I am kind of surprised it didn't get in there in the traditional Best Picture race. But
Yeah, I agree with you. But I at the same time, I almost think animated films shouldn't be in there because I remember the first year they did more than 10. What was it? Toy Story 4 was nominated, or 3. I can't remember which one it was. It was nominated for Best Picture and then Best Animated Film. And it's like, well, how is it not the best animated film if it's the only animated film in the actual Best Picture category? So, you know, it's kind of a giveaway there. But, yeah, no, I agree with you. I need to see Annalisa. I can't wait to see that. So very much looking forward to that and the other stuff that I need to catch up on.
There's always so much to catch up on.
I know. I finally got caught up on all my TV shows except for The X-Files. So slowly working my way to getting caught up, which is good.
Well, very nice. We'll look forward to seeing the show as always. It's always a fun couple hours, and Chris Rock should definitely lace into some people, I'm sure, and should be fun.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure Chris Rock's going to tear it. So, well, cool. We'll hope everybody enjoys the Oscars and then can give us a hard time after about how wrong we were, if indeed we are. So... Until next time, we shall be back.